Good morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. In just a moment, we'll look at a text of Scripture there to encourage us in our service to God this day. Appreciate your presence. We appreciate those who are with us, especially if you're visiting with us. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll feel welcome and come back as you have an opportunity. I know that we all look for strength from day to day. We look for physical strength. We go to sleep at night so that we can wake up the next morning and our body is rested and we can gain some strength through sleeping. Of course, eating. We eat so that we can have that physical and bodily strength to make it throughout the day. And in our journey in life, we also seek for spiritual strength. This morning, I want us to consider a statement that we find from the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter 30 to encourage us this morning. Of course, we know that David's life had a lot of troubles and trials, and we come to at least the close of the chapter here with the chapter of David's life with Saul, especially. David, of course, will continue to live on and serve as king. But turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David strengthened himself in Jehovah his God. Here's a text of Scripture that says that David was greatly distressed, but he strengthened himself in Jehovah his God. I don't know if you've ever had it happen in your life. I know that it hasn't happened in my life, but I don't think we've ever been in a situation where the people spake of stoning you. I don't think it's gotten that bad in life, but have you ever had anyone want to stone you? Probably hasn't gotten that bad, but we face challenges in life. To whom do we turn? We just sang in that beautiful song that you are my strength. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. David strengthened himself in Jehovah, his God. And I want you to notice in the text there, sometimes just the smallest words have great meaning. Look at the latter part of verse 6. He strengthened himself in the Lord, or in Jehovah, his God. Underscore that. God was personal to him. God was not an abstract thought. God was not something hypothetical and theoretical. God was not something that belonged to somebody else but really didn't belong to him. And he would just sort of borrow him as he needed him. But his God. And we're going to see this morning that a strong relationship with God, that God is our own God. Not just belonging to our parents. Not just something that somebody else wants me to do. But God is my own personal God. We can truly begin to gain strength from that. Come back with me now to 1 Samuel chapter 16. As you look at the life of David, as it runs from 1 Samuel 16 to the end of 1 Samuel, you find that David quickly goes from triumph to tragedy. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Saul and David have a great relationship. 1 Samuel 16:21, there was love between them. David is Saul's armor bearer. He plays for him on a musical instrument to soothe him. There's a close relationship. But it changes in chapter 17 when David slays Goliath. And Saul becomes jealous and envious of David. Don't underestimate the power of envy and jealousy. It can eat a person alive, as it did with Saul. And so we find that in chapter 18 and verse 8, after David slays Goliath, Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. Verse 9, "And Saul eyed David from that day forward." The eye of envy and jealousy, and he didn't like David. And so the rest of 1 Samuel is about Saul chasing David and trying to kill him. David's life goes quickly from triumph. He's on a high in killing this giant, this well-known Old Testament story in chapter 17, to having to run for his life. And David's solution is to strengthen himself in the Lord his God. When you look at 1 Samuel 16 through the end of the book, you're looking at a period of about 10 years. I wanted to mention this because what we're talking about this morning didn't last a couple of days. It didn't last a couple of months or even a year. But approximately 10 years we have David on the run from Saul. Probably in his mid to late teens with the killing of Goliath to the mid to late 20s. And some of you this morning are in that age bracket. Let's say 17 to 27 or 18 to 28, along in there. We're talking about 10 years of a situation that is very difficult for David. To be pursued and have your own life threatened. Assassination attempts. Having to hide out in the wilderness. I don't think any of us have ever had to do that. Having friends turn against him. And if that isn't enough, he has just his own duties of fighting armies on top of all of that. And then we find in chapter 30 and verse 6 that some people want to stone him. He quickly goes from triumph to tragedy, from triumph to trial and tribulation. How did he handle that? What did he do during that period of time? Did he become unfaithful? Did he use this trial and tribulation as an excuse to quit the Lord? No, we find that he acts properly all along the way because of his relationship with God. How do you face situations in your life, challenges in your life? Who do we turn to for strength? What do we turn to? How do we go about doing that? That's our lesson this morning. We find that when David maintained his relationship with God, that he is helped along the way. And David strengthened himself. I find it interesting that at the very beginning of this book, Hannah, when she's praying and thanking the Lord for her child, that she, almost in a prophetic manner, talks about how that God will strengthen his people. 1 Samuel 2:4, and then again in verse 10. And that's actually going to play out in the book when he strengthens David to undergo these challenges in life. And this matter of turning to God was not something that David did after he had these challenges. He had always been this way. You remember, of course, the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. That he knew that he could go up against Goliath because God had delivered him from both the bear and the lion. And so that God can deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. He had already had a close relationship with God as a youth. And that's why it's important for us as parents to raise up our children to have a good relationship with their own personal God early in life. So when those challenges do set in later, and they will, they have a God to turn to. David, as a youth, came in the name of the Lord against Goliath. He came already trusting God. And so what we find then is, turn with me to chapter 18, when this trial sets in, the Lord is with him. And the Lord will be with us today. When the assassination attempts begin to be made on David's life, for example, when Saul cast his spear at David, chapter 18, verse 11, and Saul was afraid of David because Jehovah was with him. Underscore that. We find it in verse 14. We find it again in verse 28. When we turn to the Lord for strength, he will be with us. And so this morning, I want us to consider, what did David do to strengthen himself in the Lord. What does that mean? What does that involve? If I wanted to do that today, if I wanted to follow the example of David and I wanted to be strengthened in the Lord of my God, what could I do? What would I do? How would I follow what David did? Well, first of all, when you look at this roughly 10-year period of David's life, you find that one of the things that David did was that he turned to God in prayer. And that might seem like a simple thing or an obvious thing to us, but we must never overlook that. Turn with me, for example, to 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2 on one of the occasions. And they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of Jehovah." What was the first thing he did? What's the first thing that you and I do when we're challenged with something? Is it drop to our knees in prayer or is it something else? The first thing he did was to inquire of the Lord. And Jehovah said, "Go and smite the Philistines." God answers prayer. David's men do that. They said unto him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of Jehovah yet again. It's not a one-time simple prayer where prayer is kind of used like a parachute where you just say a quick little prayer, you've got a challenge going on, and then you might have to turn right around again and pray again. When other questions come up and when other issues are raised. And so David's men say, "Do you really want us to go fight?" And so he turns around and asks God again. Gaining strength from the Lord comes in prayer, but it might be multiple prayers. In fact, we find that he has to do it again just a few verses later in verse 10 and 11. David knew that Saul was devising mischief against him, and he said unto Abiathar the priest, "Bring here the ephod." Then said David, "O Jehovah, the God of Israel, thy servant hath surely heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Jehovah, the God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." So we find that he turns to God in prayer. In this verse that we read earlier in chapter 30 and verse 6, where the text says that David strengthened himself in Jehovah his God, look at what is said right after that. 1 Samuel 30, verse 7. "And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought there the ephod of David. And David inquired of Jehovah, saying, If I pursue after this troop, shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them." Turn to God in prayer. When we face those situations, he trusted God for help and for guidance. That's how you strengthen yourself in your God. That's how I do that. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22. Never underestimate the power of prayer and a good, healthy prayer life. It's not something that is just done at the church building. It's not just something that is done around the Lord's table. It's not just something that's done around the meal table at home. But all throughout the day when we need to be doing that, let that be a regular part of our life. Look at David's attitude toward life in general. And that is, I've got to inquire of the Lord. And we're going to make a point on this later, but it wouldn't just simply be prayer, but I'm going to go to the Bible. What does the Bible say? I'm making decisions. I'm trying to make choices. I'm trying to determine right and wrong. What does God say? Look at this matter in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. This is a great lesson just in itself. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him and everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented. Excuse me. I was thinking in my mind I'm not the only one that tries to have the same letter that starts these words, distress, debt, and discontented. So there's your Bible authority for alliteration. They gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them, and there were there with him about 400 men. Now look at this. And David went there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. Underscore that. What is God going to do for me? That's how we gain strength in the Lord. We go to God in prayer, and then we wait and let Him tell us what we need to be doing. Another matter before we move on. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 24. He let God take care of those things that God is supposed to take care of. We gain strength in the Lord by going to Him in prayer, by trusting Him, by saying, I'm going to wait until I hear what God wants me to do. We call that Bible authority in the matter of turning in the Scripture. What does God want me to do? That's what's important. And in this matter, where he's in Gedi, where David spares Saul's life there, he had an opportunity to kill him, and he chooses not to. Look at chapter 24 and verse 12. Jehovah judge between me and thee, and Jehovah avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. This is going to be God's doing. I'm not going to put my hand and touch the Lord's anointed. Back in verse 6. Verse 10, he's the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to kill Saul. That is God's prerogative. It comes up again. Look at chapter 25 and verse 39. You remember the story where David and his men wanted something to eat, and so they asked Nabal, can we have something to eat? Nabal says, I'm not going to give you anything to eat. And David gets very mad. Chapter 25, verse 13, and he's going to go kill him. But Abigail steps in with her wise prudence. She's known for her wisdom and her prudence. And women can have a great quality of stepping in with that type of approach and can help others. And so she actually pacifies David and gets him to think about some wise things. And Abigail was very wise on this occasion. And she did it in the right way and helped David. Look at what he says in chapter 25 and verse 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be Jehovah that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and hath kept back his servant from evil. And that was through Abigail. Ladies, you can do a great service in helping people. He was kept back from evil through Abigail. And the evil doing of Nabal hath Jehovah returned upon his own head. I'm not going to do what God is supposed to be doing. God will take care of that. In the matter of Saul being spared by David in chapter 26, this time at a place called Ziph, it's the same thing. Chapter 26, 9 through 11. I will not put forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. This is not my place. So, trusting in God is also letting God take care of those things that God is supposed to take care of. How did David strengthen himself in the Lord? Well, the second thing that he did was he revealed God's Word. I find this quite amazing. In this period of time, if we had undergone this situation, what would we have been doing for about 10 years? Murmuring, complaining, quitting, becoming unfaithful, returning evil for evil. What would we have been doing? We're learning this morning that we're to be strengthening ourselves in the Lord. And we're learning that, number one, we need to be praying more and turning to God in prayer and trusting what is God's will for me. And number two, we need to be turning to God's Word more. You know, I find it interesting that in this period of time, there are several psalms that David is composing. We think about maybe David running from Saul, and every day is spent running away and hiding. sometime in that period of time, through the Holy Spirit, David is sitting down writing Psalms. You ever thought about that? You'll read about a battle that he has, and he's fighting men, but sometime he's sitting down writing God's Word. We don't think of that, maybe. Turns me to Psalm 18, the song that we just sang before the sermon, "You Are My Strength." It's taken from Psalm 18 and verse 2, and I appreciate Phil leading that song. Turn with me to Psalm 18. The second thing that we do to gain strength from the Lord is to open up His Word and turn to His Word. I wish we had time, if you want to make a note, these particular Psalms. If you have one of those versions of the Bible that has the little titles at the top of the Psalms, these are placed later by Jewish tradition. But these are the Psalms that were most likely written by David during this time when he's on the run from Saul. Jot them down, 18, 34, 52, 54, 56, and so forth, and read them in your own time, and read them with the thought of a man on the run, being hurt, being troubles and trials, and then it brings new meaning to these words. Let's read just a few verses of some of this. Look at Psalm 18, verse 1 with me. This is not David on vacation somewhere, and he's it's a good day going on, and he has a little free time. This is David on the run. He's hiding out in a cave, or he's being threatened by Saul in some kind of way. What is David doing? He's gaining strength by revealing and turning to God and writing God's Word. "I love Thee, O Jehovah, my strength." David strengthened himself in the Lord. "I love Thee, O Jehovah, my strength. Jehovah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Just think about that being physically written, those words being written, on a day where earlier he had been threatened in some kind of way. His enemies are after him. The hand of Saul is after him. "My God, my strength, my shield, and the horn of my salvation and my tower." Verse 3, "I will call upon Jehovah, who is worthy to be praised." We've already seen that, where he goes to him in prayer. "So shall I be saved from my enemies. The cords of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The cords of Sheol were round about me. The snares of death came upon me." Saul took a spear and threw it at him now. That's not just hypothetical. That happened, you see. And what did David do? He's writing God's Word. "In my distress, I called upon Jehovah. I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry before him became into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the mountains quaked and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and a fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and thick darkness was under his feet." And he talks about how that he's saved by God's power. I wish we had time to read the whole psalm. Turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. "I will bless Jehovah at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in Jehovah. The meek shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify Jehovah with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought Jehovah, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. This poor man cried, and Jehovah heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles." This is David in approximately a 10-year period of troubles and trials. He's not quitting. He's not becoming unfaithful. He's not returning evil for evil. He's not complaining and murmuring. Turn with me to Psalm 52. Read these Psalms in light of David on the run with problems. Psalm 52, verse 1. "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures continually. The tongue devises very wickedness. And David had people speaking against him like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God will likewise destroy thee forever. He will take thee up and pluck thee out of thy tent and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see it and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, Lo, this is the man that hath made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But as for me, see, David strengthened himself in the Lord. I'm not going to turn to other worldly kinds of things for strength. I'm going to turn to the Lord. I'm like a green olive tree in God's house and so forth. It's just beautiful. Look at Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me in thy might. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and violent men have sought after my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is of them that uphold my soul. He will requite the evil unto my enemies. I can kill Saul right now in this cave, but I'm not going to do it. That's God's place. And we could go on, but we see the point. We see that David has a heart fixed on God in his word. He continues to praise God. He uses descriptions of how great God is. We don't find David belittling God and losing faith in God and talking about how that God is allowing all of this terrible trial to happen. He's meditating day and night on God's goodness and God's greatness. And on those matters that trouble him with regard to his enemies, over and over again he says, God will take care of that. He believed that God would vindicate these individuals. Verse 5, He will requite the evil unto mine enemies. Destroy thou them in thy truth. And then verse 6, With a freewill offering will I sacrifice unto thee. I will give thanks unto thy name, O Jehovah, for it is good. During this 10-year period of time, David didn't stop worshiping. He came and brought the sacrifices. He strengthened himself in the Lord by turning to God's Word. And then number 3. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. He prayed to God. He turned to God's Word. And number 3. He allowed himself to be encouraged and built up by godly, and that's the key, godly friendships. And the irony here is that the close friend was the son of the man who's trying to kill him. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 14. 1 Samuel 23, 14. And David abode in the wilderness. Not because that was his choice of living. You know, some people want to live in town. Some people don't want to live in... It wasn't that. He's in the wilderness because he's on the run. People don't like him. David abode in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. But God delivered him not into his hand. Why? Because David is strengthening himself in the Lord. He's praying to the Lord. We know from his Psalms, he's trusting in the Lord and he's asking him for deliverance. And God is granting that. Verse 15, And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. The third thing that David did was he allowed close, godly friendships to build him up. verse 17, and he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before Jehovah. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. A close godly friendship who is going to say, let's make a pact together to serve God. That's the person who's going to strengthen me. Not the non-Christian out in the world who's going to take me away from the Lord. As much as they might be friends, they're not going to help me go to heaven. They're not going to help me be more faithful. I've got to seek that out among those who are godly, because I'm trying to strengthen myself in God. And so I have to find those friendships that are godly. I believe that they are fewer in number than those out in the world. I believe it's easier to have friends out in the world, and the numbers are greater. It's probably fewer, the godly friendships that we can have. But David had this one man, Jonathan. One's enough. And the text says that this man came and strengthened his hand in God. They weren't talking about sports and weather and the stock market and fun things to talk about. There's nothing wrong to talk about those things. But he strengthened him in God. That's what David needed at that moment. And that's what godly friendships will do. David did three things. He turned to God in prayer. He turned to God's word. And he turned to godly friends. And so as we close this morning and make the application, when we find ourselves in situations where we need strengthening, spiritual strengthening, it could be a number of different situations in your life or mine, whatever the case might be, let us do the same three things. We're not going to turn to the world and to the things of the world to get through these things. We're going to pray to God. We're going to turn to God's Word. And we're going to seek out godly associations in the Lord's body today who will help us get to heaven. With some, it might be some emotional or physical problem that they're trying to get through in life. Family and friend issues and problems, stuff going on at work, trials, personal trials and temptations, lusts and trials and things like that that we have to face. It might just be the sinful society that we're immersed in today, all around us. It might be standing for truth. But there are going to be times in these situations where we need strengthening to do what is right, to live what is right, and we can find it the way David did that. Turning to God in prayer, turning to God's Word, and accepting and allowing a godly friendship to keep me strong. You know, we turn to the New Testament, we find the same thing. And we're going to do that in just a moment. But what's interesting is that in many cases, at the very moment when we need the strengthening, we don't turn to the one who can strengthen us. Often, God is left out. Maybe not in your lives, but in the lives of other people we see that. God is left out or forsaken altogether. And that's why I asked if Isaiah 31 and verse 1 would be read. Turn back with me there. There are some passages where God's people were going through troubles and trials. And who did they turn to? They wouldn't turn to the Holy One of Israel. There are passages that say, woe to you who go down to Egypt. They would turn to Egypt. They would turn to Assyria. They would turn to physical types of things and earthly kinds of things. And God is right there to help them, but they wouldn't turn to Him. Is that the way it is with us today? He's right there. Woe to them, Isaiah 31, verse 1, that go down to Egypt for help. They shouldn't have been doing that. They rely on horses and trust in chariots because there are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek Jehovah. He's right there to help them, but they won't turn. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Brethren, God is right there for us each and every day, that we can turn to Him in prayer and we can turn to His Word. And there are godly Christians who are trying their best to live according to God's Word every day, and they're right here in our presence that we can turn to for help, for advice, for counseling, for encouragement. But we've got to turn. We've got to seek that. Look at Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. Thus says Jehovah, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, and who maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from Jehovah. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Jehovah, and whose trust Jehovah is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat cometh, but its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We can turn to God or not. He's there. He's right there. David knew that. And that's our lesson for us this morning. Let us know that as well. Let's not leave God out. Let's not turn to some other means for the strengthening, but the one, the Holy One of Israel, who is there for us. We can do that in the same way. Peter says that God is there to strengthen us. 1 Peter 4:11 and 1 Peter 5:10. He wants to perfect us and strengthen us. He's right there to do it. But we've got to turn to Him in prayer. In fact, just a few verses before 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, where Peter says that God wants to perfect and strengthen you, just a few verses before, Peter says, cast all of your care upon the Lord. And He's right there to strengthen us. There are several passages from Paul, especially in the books of Ephesians and Colossians, that tell us that strength comes from turning to God's Word. That's why our daily Bible reading is so important. Meditating on God's Word is so important. Let's just look at one example of this. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Strength is often associated with God and His Word, especially in these two books of Ephesians and Colossians. Here's one example. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 9, for this cause, Paul said, we pray. We do not cease to pray and make requests for you that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. This is God's Word. Filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord, unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing, look at this, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power. Where does the strengthening come, verse 11? When we increase in the knowledge, verse 10, of God. Reading our Bible is not just to fill out a Bible class lesson. Reading the Bible is not just something we do when we follow along in the lesson, and I hope that we do that. It's to gain strength from God on a daily basis. And then last of all, let us turn to the support of godly Christians. David had a Jonathan, and you and I have a Jonathan. They're sitting right beside you. They're right next to you. They're in this congregation. You and I have a Jonathan who wants to come and strengthen you in God. Let us use them. Let us be supportive of them. Let's accept them. Not shut them out. It's easy to do something like that and just turn to the people in the world. But they're not going to strengthen us in God. They may be nice in many kinds of ways, but they're not going to strengthen us in God. And so Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, to exhort and build one another up. And that's what the church family, the local congregation, is all about. All of us want strengthening, I'm sure. Here's what David did. Here's what we need to do. As we face those trials and challenges in our life, God is there in prayer. He's there with His Word, and He gives us godly associations to keep us strong each day. As Paul said in Ephesians 6, we can be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might if we'll put on that whole armor of God. And when we go out each day, we'll have the strength to battle those battles that are before us. Let us help each other do that. Let's support each other as godly Christians. Let's encourage prayer. Let's encourage Bible study, because it's nothing but strength in the Lord. You may need to exercise your strength this morning in coming and obeying the gospel. Be strong inside to come, repenting and being baptized into Christ. Or if you're a Christian that has erred in the past and you've not been living the way you need to live, you've been seeking strength somewhere else to get through each day. Some people turn to other kinds of things to get to make it by each day, and it's not God. And you see that now and you want to make that change, we can help you. But as we start this week, let's be strong in the Lord, and we can battle the devil in those areas where we need to do that. And we can live the life of a faithful Christian. David had a lot of difficult things for that period of his life. But when you read those Psalms especially, you see a man that loves the Lord. And it's just simply focused on living right and serving God. And what a great example that is for us today. If we can help you to be strong in the Lord this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?